Locks in the Box, Volume 1, Episode 11.
Hunter. Hunted. Works for me.
But I just needed to be sure, and so I discreetly followed him. I seemed lost in this maze of bungalows. Then I heard a distant gunshot from a bedroom.
Single gunshot. Hunter down. Hope I'm not too late.
So I ran toward the noise, but I still didn't know what room you guys were. So I hid and waited.
Fatima just shot in the air to make a point that she was serious, although her wrist was trembling with terror.
Sharp thief. Listen to me.
Nah. You tried to get out of the hole. I caught you in.
Listen to me, Fatima. Yes, you can. Look at me. Fatima, look at me. As I told you before, this life, this cycle stops with me. Today. Now.
I was choke-holding Chaptiv and Fatima standing, holding intensively the gun at the both of us. She approached us. She looked lost. A pause. Then she slowly lowered the small gun. With the quickest of the martial art maneuver, Chaptiv took away Fatima's gun and pointed back at us now.
So sad, my dear, to see you go like this, but...
Okay, okay, you win. I'll lead you to the locks.
The locks? This is suicidal. It's just a myth.
It's not.
I had one hand held up in the air, and the other hand very slowly was getting my phone set on the bed nearby. I quickly inserted my password and rapidly scrolled over the screen of the device. I finally found what I was looking for and showed it to Sharp Thief.
What the heck is this? A baby tusk?
A chip from his tusks. My dad got it a few days before he passed away.
So, it is true then. If this is a chip, the tusk itself must be humongous. A life for a tooth. Ah, why not?
I will lead you to it.
Oh, you know me way too well. But here's the thing. You will lead me to it, and you will catch it for me. You know the hunter in me is rusted. And I want both tusks.
As Sharptiv finished his demand, he placed his index finger on the trigger, forcing me to immediately respond.
He never holds his part of the bargain. Don't trust him.
I'll do it, okay? I will. Your life is more worthy than some tusks. You must go now. Fatima, please go. Go to your sister or anyone else.
A silence between us settled, as if my last command was the opposite of what I asked her to do. A nun from Sharptiv.
Can I get dressed?
We, Sharptiv and I, both intensively looked at each other while Fatima, in a blink of an eye, got dressed up and carefully took her purse with her. She reached the doorknob, turned her head around, took a last look at me. I still was in a no-blink-eye contest with Sharptiv. Then she left. After a few seconds, I looked at the door and I saw the shadow of someone else listening. I thought it was still her. Probably having second thought.
You have 5 days.
5 days? It takes weeks to track it.
She has nowhere to hide. Unless you want to see her swimming with Jacqueline.
Okay, all right. 5 days. Meet me at my office. I'll be there with the tusks.
I hope so. You double-cross me and...
Sharp Thief tucked the gun in his back, then left the room. Few minutes later, someone else came in from outside, quietly enters the room. I thought he came back. I started getting dressed while the door slowly opened again.
I know you said 5 days.
5 days are not enough to find it.
What are you doing here?
doing what Mother would have wanted. For a second, I thought I lost you, little brother.
All of a sudden, you care about me, my business.
5 days are not enough. Wasting time right now. By the way, are you and Fatima a thing?
Now, that's why you're here. Don't pretend.
Are you going to say something? You naughty boy.
Like you said, let's not waste time. Let's go.
Yeah, I quietly entered the room after the gunshot. I saw 2 wet towels, one on the floor and the other on the bed. I also saw 2 velvet boomslang spades on the table with a pointing pencil, covered with slimy substance. I grabbed it, smelled it, had a foul odor. Then I put it back where I had found it. And I said to myself, what did I miss? Why do I feel like a big deal just happened without me? Need to go back to Yusef. Oh crap, he's no longer with us. Gotta think. Yeah, maybe I should call. And that's when I decided to call you.
Sharp Thief is on his way. We're supposed to meet 48 hours from now.
So, do you have the piece? What about... where's the locks now?
So...
what the fuck, man? I can help you, you know? I can really help, Mr. Quadio. Are you still there?
The rich and the powerful. Always interesting. Mostly deceitful.
It's not what you think.
Tell Sharp Thief to bring Fatima. I'll be there with his prize.
Mr. Quadio, I can assure you.
It is really humid here. Even early in the morning, I'm drenched in sweat.
Maybe it's your guilty conscience.
Silence!
Looks like your boyfriend didn't provide his end of the arrangement.
Let her go, Sharp Thief!
Where is it? Where are my tusks? Let me tell you on a little secret, my friend.
You talk too much.
No. You need to hear this.
Sharp Teeth takes out some gloves and a valve. He surgically opens it and meticulously drops, drip by drip, a transparent liquid on the sharp edge of the sharp teeth.
I, myself, had designed this necklace. It has personal, I will say sentimental value, you see. I met this Australian fisherman, another businessman. He is infatuated with wildlife in the ocean. But interestingly enough, we hit it off on a conversation about the most poisonous venom in this world. I said a snake, maybe a cobra or sea snake for sure. He laughed at me so hard that he peed in his pants. I'm serious now. So I asked him, "Why you laugh so hard?" He said, "I am sorry. It is not you, but most of the people think snakes are bad, really bad, the worst. I know you really like teeth. I like the ocean, and my friend, the ocean is another universe. Do you know Karukai Banise?" I replied, "Is she or he another Australian businessman or woman you associate?" "No," he said. He paused and he added, "Karukai Banise is also named the Irukandji jellyfish. And that, my friend, is the deadliest animal so far that I know. It lives away from the coast, deep in the ocean, away from people. It's very transparent, camouflage. That's how it tricks its victims or protects itself from predators. Its toxins is 100 times more effective than a cobra and 1,000 times concentrated than a tarantula. It kills in less than 5 seconds. So, you want to quickly get rid of something or someone?" Then he smiled and gave me this valve as a present. "My father was a hunter like yours, Kwame. He always put your family on a pedestal, and I hated that. Why did my dad not see me, but another savage, a bushman and his children like hero? My dad was a hunter and a fisherman sometimes. One day, we went fishing on the ocean. Mind you, I don't know how to swim. And the ocean's so big, so deep, so blue. I saw a big fish, and you guessed it. It was a shark, roaming around us as a hunter, prepping and zooming on his next prey. I was afraid, very afraid, scared shit. And I think the shark smelled it. Even though I was with my father, who was supposed to protect me, to comfort me, that fish was the only thing that was possessing my entire attention, my entire being. Did you know that sharks constantly replace their teeth? Warmer temperature makes the change faster, whereas colder temperature makes the change slower. Also, diet and sex are big factors. Female have bigger teeth than male, thus Jacqueline. Ha! I saw it extremely close as this big fish almost teased us, smiled at me, then got back in the water a few times. Last time the fish came out, I poked the eye with my pocket knife, and yes, I anticipated her to come out again, and I scored. And she lashed at the boat, shake our little boat with her humongous jaw, and planted her full mouth in the wooden core of the boat, losing one tooth. This is the one tooth that she lost that day. That was great. She got back in the water and disappeared. Not too many sharks got one poked eye, so it was easy for me to trace Jacqueline. And she became my pet, my favorite. My whole body was trembling to its core when I pulled the tooth out the wood. I will never forget that experience. And it's at this very moment that my dad decided to tell me that I was a knucklehead. And I will never be a hunter like him. A hunter like the Quadios family, like Kwame. You know why he asked? Because a real hunter is never afraid. A real hunter never trembles, always anticipates. And I said, "But Dad, I just did. I just anticipated and whack!" The next thing I remember was my left ear was ringing so loud. I couldn't hear after my dad smacked the heck out of my left cheek. All I was seeing was his mouth talking, but no sound. I could only read his lips. Don't talk over me as I'm talking to you, boy. And yes, Kwame, we were just kids, but I was jealous of you. Oh, I was so jealous of the love your family had between you and your dad, your mom and your brother. So, I decided to go after this beautiful African family. Oh, it's very rare nowadays, you might say, but that was my ultimate goal. It kept me up at night, planning to destroy each and every one of you. Your dad and your brother Harris. That was easy. I paid the Rangers with my dad's money to get rid of Quadio Senior and to make sure he hires Harris and gets me this piece.
What? So, you planned all—
Oh, shut the fuck up! Shut up! For your mother, it was a bit more difficult. But I finally found out where she was working. Cleaning these safari houses. Do you know that they have anthrax and other bacteriological weapons in these safari houses for experiments? To advance science, they said. I didn't know either. Well, money can buy you a lot of things. Information, people. And I'm pretty sure you know what happened next. Your mother got sick. Oh, really, really sick.
You really are? Sick man!
You know whether the loss exists or not. I really don't care much. I am about to reach my goal. So, as I was saying, looks like you didn't provide your end of the arrangement.
Let us go now.
Let you go now, huh? Huh? Didn't I tell you? You always will be my property.
Yes, but please, you have everything a man wants. What can you possibly get more with us?
Everything, nah! This man over there had everything. Yes, he did. And now look, he even has you. You and him. Why do I have to be the loser here again?
You're not losing anything. We're just not meant to be together. Please, let...
Enough!
Let her go then, sharp thief. This concerns only you and I.
You are both my business. So I need to deal with the both of you.
Sharp thief. It's here.
Who's here?
Can you hear?
I don't hear a thing.
Exactly.
What the heck is that?
I'm sorry, boss. But I don't know what's coming. I'm out of here.
Coward!
What? What's that?
Was it? Is it? If it is what I think it is, then Mr. Sharpteeth, you've got your deal.
Kwame was supposed to kill it and get me the tusk. Half a deal is no deal.
I have nothing to do with it. Being here at this instant, no one chases the locks. The locks chases you.
The silence gets extremely intense. As Sharpteeth arms his belt again, two gigantic tusks similar to a mammoth pierce the bushes on each side behind Kwame. Kwame surprisingly sees the tusks and turns his head toward the gigantic head of the elephant. They both lock eyes, as if the locks was communicating with Kwame. The moment is interrupted by...
Well? If you want something properly done, you have to do it yourself.
Sharpteeth lets the arrow fly toward the massive Pashdam flank. Kwame turns his head back toward the arrow that is now traveling at the speed of light toward the animal. And without hesitation, Kwame jumps in the air, reaching the arrow, nonetheless way too fast to be caught. arrow swiftly escapes his fingers and forcefully lands in his chest. Kwame falls on the ground. He sees the logs disappearing behind the bushes. Oh! My God! Oh! Oh my God!
No! Kwame! No! No, 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 no.
Fatima in tears runs toward Kwame. An old ranger car quickly approaches. They halt to a stop, with tires screeching on the dirt road. We hear someone running toward Kwame. It's Harris.
Who did this?
Harris hastily kneels to his brother in pain.
How does it feel to lose hope? To lose something that you think you had, huh?
In the blink of an eye, Harris is still on his knees. Turns toward Sharp Teeth and shoots him in the head.
How does it feel to shut the fuck up?
Harris puts his gun back in his holster. Kwame is now gasping for air. He grabs Harris' hand and puts it into Fatima's hand.
Hold on, Kwame. Hold on. Please. Please.
Fatima. Oh, beauty. Beautiful, Fatima.
Hang in there, Franja. Hang in there, little brother. I'll get some help.
No, no. It's too late. I can't feel my sight anymore. Please. Please. Listen. Listen. Protect. Protect the locks at any cost. Promise. Swear it. Harris.
I will. I swear, yes. I will protect it. One shot. Last hunter. Down.
It's peaceful here. I'm not thirsty anymore.
Oh, yes. Water is the best beverage.
Worldwide.
Indeed. Come.
You have been listening to Locks in the Box Volume 1, a Patrick Cabberty Presents production. Locks in the Box has been created, written, and produced by Patrick and Wendy Cabberty. Recorded at Soundbox LA, West Hollywood, California. Executive producer, Wendy Cabberty. Original sounds by Pixabay and Upbeat.io. Edited by Miguel Sol at Soundbox LA. Casting by Patrick Cabberty. Directed by Patrick Cabberty. Starring Kirk Taylor as the priest, J. Teddy Garces as young Baba, and Tony, Jonima Diaby as Harris, Francis Edemobi as Youssef, Shalimar Garba as mother, Fatima, young woman, and Katalia, Emma Garba as young Kwame, Omri Cabberty as young Harris, Mel Uche as Sharp Teeth and Huliao, AJ Lubskin as Sajess, Charlotte Chang as Zhao, Patrick Cabberty as Kwame, and narrated by Patrick Cabberty.
Credits read by Sydney and Omri Cabberty. Special thanks to Tim, Michelle, and Miguel at Soundbox LA, West Hollywood, California. Box in the Box is a Patrick Cabberty Presents production. For a full cast list, go to patrickcabbertypresents.com and listen to the next episode. Follow us on social media. Thank you for supporting Patrick Cabberty Presents production, and thank you for listening to Locks in the Box.